Able to spend this time with the brethren here, with this congregation. We enjoyed being able to attend the Bible class and then preaching this morning on prayer, and then had some great lunch at Don Jose. It's almost as good as Tex-Mex food. Actually, is really good. Very impressed. And so I had a little bit of heartburn when doing the youth jam portion of the lesson, but we had a good time going through 2 Kings 7 and looking at the four lepers and looking at a subject on being fearless for the Lord. And then we had some fear factor games, which included Nightcrawler, Spam, Cheetos, Shaving Cream. You can hear it from others later. But with that said, by the way, we had five teams that took place in a relay race of nine different obstacles. And one of those teams came in at just over 6 minutes, making the first place team. And so the idea here is if you were on team five, congratulations, number one. And number two is you get to go first when it comes to potluck later on. So right after me, of course, since we're the guests. This evening, we're going to be doing a lesson on how to reach a family member. This is a topic that I preached on a few months back at a youth conference. And when I was putting together for a bunch of teens that were there, I thought, you know, this lesson is great for our teenagers. They have family that they love, that they want to reach the gospel with, but this also applies to everyone. All of us are part of a family of some type. You came here as a result of a family, and into this world at least. And the point is, we love our families. We're blessed with families, and we want to reach out to them. So this lesson applies to all of us. You know, we are all different. It's not hard to understand that conclusion. We're all different. We think differently. We have different hobbies. We have different intellectual levels. We come from different parts of the country, and we have different hobbies and things that we enjoy. And so the point is, it's not hard to understand that we're different. And we, even our family members, we are different within our own family units. Some of us have certain personality traits, and other people in our family members may be different than us. And what we're talking about is how we reach our family. And because of diversity in the world, diversity within our own family members' personalities, we have to be creative in the ways and the methods in which we use to reach them with the gospel. The message never changes. It's still the same gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. When I was baptized into Christ, it's the same, hopefully the same purpose and the same reason, the same method in which you were baptized into Christ. But we all have a different story. We all were reached from a different way. And so with this lesson, we have to be mindful of using different methods and being creative, that we understand the diversity of people and we try to reach people, not with a one-size-fits-all method. We use different methods, but the same message to reach our loved ones. If you were to look at one of my first few pages in my Bible, it's a blank page, and I have listed number one and down to whatever number. And on that list, it's people that I had the privilege to share the gospel with, and that they ultimately were baptized into Christ. And so I keep a list of those people that I've had the opportunity to play a role in their conversion experience. And if you were to look at this list in my Bible, the top five, six, seven names are people that are directly related to me, siblings, and friends of mine. And that's not by accident. Those are the people that were, when I was considering who can I now share this awesome message with of salvation, it was people that were closest to me first. The people that I loved and cherished, and that were my own kin. And so it was my family that I decided I needed to reach first. It was the same message I needed to share with them, the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. And family is so important to us. And so what I want to do is share with you 5 points. And if you do these steps, these guidelines more or less, you will be 100% successful in reaching your family with the gospel. How can we be 100% successful in doing this? Number one is we simply need to thank God for family. Before we go and try to reach them with a soul-saving message, let's have an appreciation for the families that we have. God designed the family going all the way back to Genesis 1, 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. We continue in verse 24 of chapter 2. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And oftentimes, after that relationship takes place, we see another addition to the family, children. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Psalm 127 and verse 3. We should be thankful that we are part of a family, part of one now, or maybe a future family that you may have. Perhaps you, we have all had moms and dads. Some of us have siblings and grandparents and spouses and children, in-laws, cousins, whatever it may be. And deep down, I'm convinced that God designed us to want to be part of a family unit. And God even uses that desire to have being part of a family when he relates it to the church. The church is a family. When we are added to the Lord's church, we're part of a church family because that bond is so special and near and dear to us that we want to be part of a family. We have an emotional attachment to the souls of our loved ones. Everyone has a soul, but there's something different about those that are closest to us. And even Jesus recognized that our friends and families are the ones that are that we have that special bond with, that we truly care about their eternal destiny. Even Jesus mentioned in Mark 5 and verse 19, he said, go home and to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you and has compassion on you. Even in Luke 16, in verse 27, what you have there in the rich man and Lazarus, where after the rich man had died, he asked Abraham if somebody could just go back to warn his family so that they wouldn't have to go down to the place and where he was in a lost condition. It says in Luke 16, 27, and he said, then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also should come to this place of torment. Even the rich man didn't want his five brothers to be lost and go to the same place that he were. He was saying, someone go back and tell them, because he cared about their souls specifically. You know, families are great, and unfortunately, not all of our family members are going to follow the like precious faith. It's more or less a fact that the scriptures record. Not everyone's going to listen to us when we try to reach them. And I'm still going to show you a way that we can be 100% successful in making the effort to reach them. But the point is, Jesus said in Mark chapter 6 and verse 4, it's on the screen, but it says, Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, among his own relatives, and in his own household. Jesus was raised in a family where his own kin weren't believers in him. John chapter 7, verse 5, even his own brothers didn't believe in him. James and Jude, some of his, we call his half, Jesus' half-brothers, weren't converted until after Jesus' resurrection. And so even Jesus wasn't able to persuade his immediate family members, but that didn't stop him from making an impact on them, of course. But we ought to pray for our family, be thankful for our family, and as part of being thankful, we actually verbalize prayers on their behalf. And it would not hurt to let our family members know, hey, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you by name, and I want you to know that I would love for you to come back to the Lord or to come to the Lord for the first time. There's, you know, this may have been after years where extended family has fallen from the Lord, but you can let them know years later, hey, I'm still praying for you, by the way. In John chapter 15, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide so that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give you. We talked about this morning, about having confidence in our prayer. We pray on behalf of our family that we truly believe that God is hearing our prayers, that God really does care. And by the way, God does care. God does desire that none of us perish, but all reach repentance, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. You know, our prayer needs to be mixed with action. You know, we verbalize a prayer, hey, be with my sister, be with my brother, be with my child, be with my cousin, be with whoever that your X, Y, or Z relative. But it also needs to be mixed with action. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. You know, after you make the prayer request, then what are you doing about the prayer request? Are you looking for open doors that God is allowing for you to ultimately try to reach that family member of yours? What are you doing that's going along with your prayer? And so prayer and action go hand in hand. Secondly, how can we reach our family members? It's another principle that we need to understand is understand what the gospel is. Understand what the gospel is all about. That when it comes to the Great Commission, it is a must. It's something that we need to do. And that whenever we try to reach our loved ones, we're not always going to be successful. I've said this once, but it's at times going to offend people. Even my own immediate family, not all of them are Christians. And the message of salvation going through Christ and Him only will offend people when they don't accept His message. And Jesus warned us about that. He told us in Luke 12, verses 51 through 53, "Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on in one house there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother." And this isn't for every household. Thankfully, there are families that worship together and are part of the church together. You know, I'm thankful to be a part of a family, and my in-laws, we all go to worship together each Lord's Day, and it's a wonderful experience. But I know people firsthand who have divided households when it comes to religion, and that is tough. It's tough on the family. It's tough on the children. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't give up hope and whatnot. We'll talk about that more in detail. But our lives, when it comes to the gospel, understanding the gospel means that we must fulfill the Great Commission and that our lives require change. We can't continue to be the same person that we used to be before becoming God's child. Becoming His child required repentance and change and confession that He is our Master and our Lord. Even becoming a new creation, there's a verse in 1 Peter 3. See if I have it on here. No, I don't. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2, where the context is dealing with a husband, an unbelieving husband married to a believing or Christian wife. And the scripture was talking about how the faithful wife can convert her husband without a word, simply by her manner of life, by her lifestyle, her conduct. Let's actually read that passage together. It's a very relevant passage. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of your wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct." You can apply that to any relationship. You know, parent, I became a Christian before my mom became a Christian. And so I had the responsibility as a child of God to let my light shine. And she had to see my conduct. She had to see that this wasn't some bad that I was part of some Christianity group, that this was a sincere change in lifestyle. And when they could see that, when my loved ones would see that, then I was able to help be more persuasive when it came to sharing the gospel with them, because they understood it wasn't just some belief, this was a lifestyle character change of mine. We ought to be prepared to shine. When it comes to your family, you're going to argue with them. You're going to butt heads. So why not use those opportunities now as a child of God to say, well, normally when we fought, before I was a Christian, I would say these kind of words. I would act like this. My temper would flare. Now, as a Christian, I can let the peace, one of the fruit of the Spirit, shine in this argument now. And this argument will be an opportunity for me to show what it means to be a Christian. As a Christian, we ought to be prepared to shine when it comes to hospitality. You know, we're very hospitable when it comes to strangers at times, or comes to somebody we don't really know too well, or our own brethren. But perhaps we don't show the same hospitality to our own family members the way that hospitality is shown to others that aren't in our family. And another way that we can shine to our family is to be accessible. And what I mean by that, being accessible, remind your family that you are always there for them. That you are there for them no matter what. You may not agree with some of the decisions they've made in the past, or them even maybe leaving the church, or not ever becoming a part of the Lord's church, but verbalize that you are there for them. because one day it is inevitable that people go through hard times and they may need you. And you being accessible will be an opportunity for you to share the gospel with them. Another thought that needs to be discussed in how to reach a family member is to acknowledge the advantages we have. This goes both ways. Because you're reaching people that are so close to you and that you love, sometimes it can be challenging, and it is a religion is a very serious subject because it's one soul's eternal destiny. But it also comes with advantages. Your family is more likely to listen to you than to listen to a stranger. For instance, if somebody calls me and I don't have that number in my caller ID, if I don't recognize the number, I probably won't answer that phone call unless they leave a voicemail and then I call them back. But when it comes to a family member calling me, hey, I know him, I'm more likely to talk to my family member. And we all are. This is how we are. There was a poll conducted on why people visit different places of worship. This was a few years old, but the statistics haven't changed probably very much. A poll conducted by a church directory service, which showed that why people originally chose their place of worship and for their various reasons. 3% had visited the local church because of a personal visit from the preacher. 9% had chosen that place of worship because of the architectural beauty of that building. 14% chose the building, the place to worship because of a previous church affiliation. And typically within the churches of Christ, we go to where the Lord's church is meeting. This was a general survey here. 18% had visited that church because of the proximity to their home. And then lastly, look at this. 56% of the people had chosen to worship at that church because of a direct or indirect contact from a member of the congregation. You think of the reason why you visited here. Perhaps it was because of that 56% of you came because you knew somebody here. You had a connection here. We were going to worship here, Candace and I, no matter what, because we met Mike last summer, and we were going to come here because I knew him and talked to him and knew he was affiliated with his congregation, and so that's why we were going to visit this church out of all the other congregations in Southern California, at least. Forget, it's a big state. But obviously, we are close to our family members, and your family is more likely to come here where the gospel will be preached because of an invitation from you, and they're more comfortable having that invitation come from you than from a stranger or somebody who left a brochure. Or if y'all are like us back home, we get all sort of mail flyers in our mail from other types of churches around. The thing is, you know your family as well. You have an advantage to know if they would be willing to talk about with you in a one-on-one Bible study. Your family member may not be that type of person who wants to sit there and open the Bible and have a guided study together. But your family member is one who's very tech savvy. So if you sent them a link or an email to another type of Bible study they could do online, they would be more willing to participate in that study than a formal kitchen one-on-one Bible study. Or your family member is one that you know, because you're close to them, would be more willing to take a tract to read or a DVD gospel Bible study. That's the advantage you have. You know the type of personality that your kin has, and your relative would be more receptive to. Fourthly, this is where we get more practical here. We want to talk about how to reach your family member. You need to overcome the evangelism roadblocks. Now, this applies not only to evangelism to relatives, but evangelism in general. Overcoming the evangelism roadblocks. You know, we all find it difficult at times to talk about Jesus. Right after we become a Christian, we're on fire, you know. I was baptized today, and it's awesome. Let me tell you all about it. But we become a little content in our conversion, and we tend to have a difficult time talking about the Lord. We all do. And I want to look at some roadblocks that can help us in doing this. One idea before we talk about being brave is to write down your conversion story. Take some time to either record it. You can talk about it. I know this maybe 2 months ago at Keller, what we did was we had a local evangelism Sunday, And we had different people in our congregation do short videos. They recorded themselves telling their conversion story. And their conversion story was all based on becoming a Christian the way the Bible teaches. That's number one most important thing. And then we shared those stories to the congregation. And writing it down is also important. So you can leave your legacy. You can leave your story with your future kin to let them know, here's how I became a child of God. And you could I read one about a month ago. One of our members emailed me a conversion story of somebody that he taught the gospel to, and it was so fascinating that he was able to type up this conversion story, and he emailed it to everybody probably in his email list. Some of us would be willing to share it on our social media sites, or you can write it down on a piece of paper and put it in a keepsake. But it's important that we can communicate that conversion later on. You know, with my family members, I knew that if I were at a kitchen table, because I was the first one in my immediate family to become a Christian, and so I couldn't go at the dinner table with mom and dad and three siblings and try to convert them all at one time. It just was not going to work. However, individually, it was easier to teach them. I remember on a road trip with my mom, I made the decision, I'm going to bring up the gospel and talk about the Lord on the way in the road trip. And I did that. And ultimately, my mom was converted. My dad has never been converted, but when he was in the hospital for a sickness, which he got over, that was a time where he was more open to talking about faith. He told me, he goes, Spencer, yeah, they asked me what religion I was, and I said Church of Christ. What do you think about that? And I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. Let's talk about it. But we haven't had a whole lot of conversations, but that was an opportunity in the midst of his trial for me to share the message with him. And I'm the oldest of three siblings. My sister's been in my youth group last 4 or 5 years. And so I was her youth minister for years, but I would babysit my siblings. And that was whenever Candace and I could spend time sharing the message and the love of Christ with them. But when we talk about overcoming evangelism roadblocks, one of them is to be brave. And what I mean by this, there was a movie that came out, I don't know, 2 years ago, We Bought a Zoo. I don't know if any of y'all saw that movie. Pretty neat movie. But in the midst of that movie, they talk about this 20 seconds of insane courage. And it was, you can apply this to anything. You know where I'm going to apply it to in a moment. But it's like if I had, excuse me, if I had a crush on a girl, I'm married, but if I did have a crush on, before I got, I would muster up 20 seconds of insane courage. And I would go talk to her, and eventually it wasn't as bad as you thought. With me, it probably would be brutal, but but we can apply this when it comes to evangelism. I want to reach my loved one. I want to reach whoever it is, my neighbor, my coworker. 20 seconds, I'm going to muster up enough courage. I'm just going to go do it. I'm going to bring up the Lord and say, what are you doing this Sunday? Would you like to know more about the church? Whatever comes natural. You just need to make that 20 seconds of insane courage, and I promise you, it'll be much easier than you portrayed in your mind, and you'll be better than expected. Another way to overcome evangelism roadblocks is to discuss spirituality. We love to talk about sports. We love to talk about the weather. But the point is, what about just bringing up spirituality in your conversations? What are you doing this weekend? What are you doing this Sunday? You know, things like that are opening up a door to talk about faith. Oh, I can't. This Sunday, we're having a youth jam that afternoon. You ought to come to it, by the way. We're gonna, here's the topic and the theme and so on and so forth. Another way to overcome evangelism roadblocks is to find common ground, find an area in which you agree on. I know with my brother, for instance, he became a Christian, but before when we talked faith, it was hard to get into a gospel Bible study. But when it came to talking about our pro-life stance, we were both very passionate about being pro-life. And so because he was and I was, we talked about it with each other. And that was able to open up a discussion about the sanctity of life and about God the Creator and creating us. And we ultimately were able to segue into a Bible discussion because of our common ground and common beliefs. We ought to be sincerely honest. That's how you can overcome an evangelism roadblock. Hey, if you're nervous about talking to your family, tell them. Listen, X, Y, or Z relative, I'm a little nervous about doing this, but because I love you, I want to tell you and share with you something really special. I want to tell you about the church. I want to tell you about sin and about forgiveness and salvation. And so be honest with your loved ones. Let them know really what you're experiencing. They'll probably appreciate your honesty and your effort. Ask for their permission. You know, when I go out to eat with friends and family that aren't Christians, I ask, say, do you mind if I lead a prayer for a meal? 100% of the time is yes. Sure, you can lead us in a prayer. No problem at all. But asking, can I share with you something really neat? Let me tell you about something that happened last week at church. Ask for permission to share with them something really special in your walk, your Christian walk. And then sometimes you got to be open and you got to be blunt, and especially whenever it's appropriate. I know some of these seem like they're conflicting, but being blunt, let your family members know, listen, you're lost. And say this, their time's about to come to an end. People are sick and they don't have much life left. Let them know where they stand and say, look, I have to share with you something really important. And because you never have your sins washed away, you're lost. And let them know. And something, be honest and loving, open. You got to be blunt and direct. Don't beat around the bush sometimes when it comes to someone's soul. And then, real quick, number five, tell his and our story. We're not making up a philosophy. We're not making up some religion. What you're sharing with is not some opinion or some scheme of redemption that you made up. All you're doing is sharing the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's what's important. Christ came, he died, he was buried, and that's not it. He rose again. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Tell the gospel. That's what's important. You're not making up some new worldview. This has been around since the foundation of the world. Tell about what you were like before you became a child of God, how you became a child of God, and now what your purpose of life is now that you are a child of God. Be prepared. This is the last one. I said 5 points. Sorry, 6 points. real quick. Be prepared. Be prepared. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. You want to reach your loved ones and your family? Put some prep time in before you do so. It says, always be prepared to give a defense for the hope that is within you. We ought to be prepared to, as the scripture just reads in 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Be prepared and consider questions that our loved ones are going to ask about the existence of God. Well, how do you know there's a God? And this is a billboard in Houston, but we also had one in the Fort Worth area, and they're probably all over the place. Humanist organizations. But the point is, be prepared to discuss the evidences of God and talk about how it would be foolishness not to believe in a supreme being. Be able to quote by memory, at least have references available at the spur of a moment to share with someone how to become a Christian. I mean, tell your story. That means if you became a New Testament Christian, you did this exact same steps. You heard the word, you believed the word, you confessed Christ, repented of your sins in 238, and were baptized into Christ. I have chain references in my Bible, which is simply on one of my few pages has different topics. In each topic, no matter what topic we're talking about, Lord's Supper, worship, whatever it is, and next to the topic is a verse. And I go to that verse in my Bible when talking about that certain topic, and out to the side of the verse, I have another verse. Excuse me, that sends me to another verse that deals with that topic. And a chain reference pops me around my Bible in studying whatever topic we're discussing. At the spur of a moment, I can be ready. And I'm sure you have them in the foyer, ready references. But we have to be prepared for the questions that we may have that our loved ones are going to ask. And it's okay if you don't know the answer. Just say you don't know and you're going to get them the answer. And you can go research, ask some other mature Christian who has studied the word, who can help guide you in an answer. There's going to be tough questions they're going to ask you. Loved ones may are going to ask you tough questions. Consider them in advance. Why are there so much suffering in the world if there is a loving God? How could a loving God send people to hell if they don't believe in him? Why do you believe Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation? What happens to those who don't accept Jesus? Why do you believe? What does it mean to be born again? What happens when we die? These are tough questions. But when we think about them in advance and discuss them with our loved ones, we can be more prepared. Because when you bring up the salvation study with them, they're not going to ask little questions. Well, how many days of creation are there? And tell me about the ark. No, they're going to jump straight to the meat. They're going to try to challenge you right away. But you can be prepared. The Bible says to be prepared. And so, and also, there's plenty of other people that you can rely on for help in your Bible discussions. So, I said in the introduction, I share with you a way to be 100% successful in reaching your family member. And the way to be 100% successful is making an effort. That's how you're successful. If you don't make the effort, you have been unsuccessful. But if you try to plant the seed, that's your only responsibility, is to plant the seed, plant the word, and if your loved one refuses to accept that message, it's their responsibility. People have a personal responsibility in their relationship with God. But you will be 100% successful if you try. If you try and make an effort to do so, the Lord will be pleased, will be proud that you were His hands, you were His mouth, you were His feet in making that effort. Let's draw closer to our family, not farther from our family. Think of ways that you can be leaven and salt and light. Be creative in ways in which you can open up those doors. Remain accessible. Let them know that you care for them, that you love them, and that you want them just like the prodigal son and the father with their arms wide open once they want to come back to the Lord or come to the Lord for the first time. But let's continue to make the effort. And you will be 100% successful. We have a few minutes left before we're going to sing an invitation song, and I'm sure we'll offer the Lord's Supper and get ready to eat. And so during the singing of this song, we said during the youth rally portion that the invitation would be offered, and it's being offered right now. If you want to become a Christian, if you want to get baptized into Christ, we can take care of that. If you want a prayer request or anything that's heavy in your heart, the elders will be down front. And can help meet your needs. You can come forward now while we stand and while we sing.